Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And ladies and gentlemen, you hear those sultry tones. And he made it real weird real quick, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, producer Stephen English, the producer, also a former stand-up comedian. I believe he has performed thrice in 2020?
I mean, I haven't, not since March.
Not since March, yeah. Three times since March, right? Yeah, and it's almost 2020. Yeah, we're sneaking up on the 1 year anniversary of COVID. real sad. Real like,
what do you get? What's the first year anniversary gift? Isn't it like paper or something like that?
It's a vaccine. It's what it is. It's a needle with a vaccine from Pfizer. I like somebody hearing that joke and it goes, you don't get to complain about what's in the vaccine if you've ever used Viagra. And that's a funny, there's lots of funny jokes out there. A lot of people making funny jokes. I did a couple jokes about the vaccine. A lot of people laughing at the joke and also saying, ha 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 ha, yeah, I'm not taking the vaccine. Cool, 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 cool.
right. I have a friend who works on like he works on a lot of like sets, like, you know, like movie and like TV sets. And he says that he has to take like daily, like they have to take like daily like rapid tests to get on set. And he said that the they had to do like a blood draw. It was something weird, but he said like the person who was doing it was like, yeah, I don't know if I trust the test. They just rushed it out too fast. And I was like, I think that dude, like, yes, he technically is like a medical professional, but he has, I'm pretty sure, an associate. So like, I think I would trust the doctors on this one. Like,
listen, I will always empathize with anyone who's like, hey man, why is the government telling me what to do? I get that. There's one thing I don't like. It's an overreach. I don't like an underreach either. I don't like reaching in general.
And you got little T-Rex arms.
Exactly. I do. I do have little arms. Actually, the arms, fairly normal, small hands, Trumpian hands. Real. They're not piano fingers. You know, people have the long fingers for pianos. These are for.
Those are harmonica fingers.
Harmonica fingers. These are for. These are for holding a hatchet. I can get a strong grip on a hatchet. But you know, I understand where people are coming from. But you know, that being said, maybe take it. I don't. Whatever. Live your life. Who cares? I care a lot.
Live whatever short life you have left.
This is my nice way of saying, oh man, I'd sure love it if you took the vaccine, but I don't hate you if you don't. That's
right.
That's my summary. But that's not what we're here to talk about today, everybody. We have we have lots to talk about. We have so many things to do. We have a fantastic first-time front seater with us today, everybody. Christine Blackburn is on the show today. Christine Blackburn is a producer and a comic. She's also the creator and the host of the Storyworthy podcast, which I did. I think it's coming out today, actually, in Story Smash, which is a storytelling game show played weekly live every Friday on Facebook and YouTube at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Come on over and spin that wheel. More on her. You can follow her and check out her stuff at ChristineBlackburn.com. So Christine is up in Los Angeles, and she comes by way of rural outside of Pittsburgh. Don't remember the name of the city that the kind of talks that proves the point. We talk about her life growing up there and her fam and being, you know, relationship with her parents and siblings, her adventures, you know, as that brought her out of that, what brought her to L.A. And then also about her life with her 13-year-old daughter. We both have 13-year-olds. And so we talked about that, how they're doing with school, how they're doing with, you know, the distance learning stuff, with independence, right, how they're still being social with the relationship with them. And it was like with them as the parents. We talk a little bit of things that like I had been doing on the, over on the gram, her texting relationship with her daughter, all kinds of fun things. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode with Christine. Boom. Right. What did you think of it, Steven? Steven hasn't listened to it yet.
I thought it was great. I think it's weird though that you talk about, yes, you do have a 13-year-old, but it's like, it's not your kid. Like, where'd you get this 13-year-old? You know, you never really like breached that. You just like say like, I have him. He's not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, like, trust me, he's locked in safe. He'll never go outside. And you know, you're kind of like doing like weird stuff like that, which I didn't understand.
Right. You know how sometimes like if you like, in order to get the thing you want, you got to buy like these other two things,
right?
You know, like we got like, what I'm saying is we got like a Black Friday deal on him and he was just kind of thrown in. So he's around.
Okay. Well,
that's good. It's not a product that we dislike. It's more just apathy.
Yeah.
You know,
you put him in the junk drawer and you just kind of leave it there.
He's like a lamp beside the bedstand. you know, it looks, it works. It's not a display lamp.
No. You're fancy, just kind of, it's like fancy china.
Yes, it's and
waiting
you're just,
china.
You're letting waiting for this lamp to become a little less angsty, and
smell
so,
better.
So we could it could so you want to spend a little more time with it. This metaphor is off the rails. None of this makes sense.
It started off the rails. It started 16 degrees south of the rails.
I love my 13-year-old son very much. And he, on his Nintendo Switch, they have like a, I don't even know what it's called, but they have like a, you can download a bunch of Super Nintendo games. And which was my system of my youth.
Okay.
Like, I definitely had any. How old are you again? So I'm 36. You are?
I'm 37.
Okay, so we're the same age. And so I remember having an NES, but that was like kindergarten, first grade.
Yeah.
You know, but when Super Nintendo came out, which would have been what, like 94 probably? Like I think
somewhere around.
That's like the late element, because to me, late elementary and junior high, like those are prime gaming years for me. And for so sure. I spent a lot of time playing Super Mario World, Mortal Kombat, Donkey Kong Country, you know, all the various the Madden games, you know, they were all the rate. And he downloaded a few of those, and it's remarkable how bad they are at them. Like, he's an advanced gamer, like he's good at games, and like he can't beat three levels of Donkey Kong Country. And he like goes into a rage.
They can't even think in two dimensions. Yeah. That's the funny part. It's like they're so used to being like everything's like three dimensions, 3-6, everything's like around and around. And it's like, no. It's on a rail. You got to go that way. And that's
you got to go.
And
you got to deal with it. You can go up. You pretty much never want to go down. You almost always die when you go down. Unless it's a pipe. Then sometimes, but it is so funny. And did you play Donkey Kong Country?
I had a Genesis. I had a Sega. Okay. I was a Sega kid because I just had a Fox attitude. You know, I was a bad boy. I was just like out there. Genesis was for kids who liked Ren and Stimpy, and Super Nintendo was for kids who liked Doug.
That's not true. But I understand your philosophy there. But again,
just Sonic had a bad attitude.
Let's go back to a conversation we previous had. I was not good at Sega because of these small hands. I couldn't reach that third button, you know? Yeah. The design of the Super Nintendo controller, so superior.
Right. Everything was very, very small. Everything was like very compacted.
I think it was like the most revolutionary of the, because really everything else has kind of been built from that idea, which is like, you know, the fingers up top and the everything on the right and the joystick on the left.
I did have a Nintendo 64, which has possibly the dumbest controller
of
all time.
The worst controller in history. It was so bad. I disregarded the whole system and pretty much have never played video games since. I was like, this is so bad. It is fun to play with him, and it made me want to start like sign up for Twitch or something like that and do like a streaming thing where I play his games and he plays mine. And we're both just so remarkably bad at them. Like, I don't know the first moves in Fortnite. Like, he's like, you drop in. I was like, okay. Like a skateboard and a ramp. What are we doing? Drop in, you know? And it's absolute, because yeah, his knowledge or lack of knowledge about his games is the same that I, unless it's a sports game, like I can figure out whatever sporting game, like pretty quick. You know, like, sure. All right, this is, we're playing, what are we doing? We're playing a little FIFA. All right, this is your pass. This is your tackle. This is your lead pass. It's your change your character. Lights out. But
I think it's a good idea, number one. And I think number two, I think make it have a betting, like some sort of betting system around it, where if he wins, he gets to like try a cigarette. You know, make it real like something really, like, you know, if he wins, he gets to like ask you like any question you have to like answer it, you know.
Yeah.
He gets a sip of seltzer or something like that, and you then know, something
but
fun.
If I win, I get to ask him any question.
If you win, you just get to hit him.
Yeah. Well, I don't need games for that. Kidding. That's justified. Yeah. We don't hit our kids hard. Oh, such a hack. These are so stupid. Yeah. You know, we just getting up just here quit. And hacking it
just
up.
Just quit.
Just chumming it up. My buddy, good friend of the podcast, Aaron Weber, told me he did a show this last week. And he said the guy before him was telling him how hack it was to do self-deprecating jokes, which is like, what? Everybody does this. This is one of the things that we do.
Supposed to do self-aggrandizing jokes?
Exactly, yeah.
Jokes about how smart you are?
Yeah, and then he said he went and bombed for 20 minutes. And my whole thing, I was laughing so hard when he told me, is like, because what you do, the way to get out of a bomb is usually to self-deprecate. Like,
right, no, you don't double down about, I'm really good. I'm really, no, trust me, I'm really, really good at this. Like,
I know.
Contrary to all the...
Yeah, that's like the ultimate thing. Like, oh gosh, can you believe these are the jokes I planned? You know, just do something. Right. Break the tension, baby. But no.
Right.
A bomb.com, as they say.
Bomb so, city.
Well, before we get into our episode with Christine here, how's, you know, since Steven and I, we don't see each other often, and could. We are allowed to. We just choose not to.
There's a bit of a rift. We live in the same household.
We do. It's a bit of like an Iron Man, Captain America type thing. You know,
I'd say it's more of a Howard the Duck and
whoever another, his rival is.
Another browner Howard of the Duck. Just two Howards the Duck.
It's Howard the Duck, and then there's a Howard the Mallard Duck.
Yeah.
Our kids ask that all the time. When you got young kids like you will be like, oh man, I can't wait to like you know, they grow up and have like cool conversations with him, and that's cool. It is, but then at other times you just like they just ask these like impossible questions that you could never like answer over and over.
Right.
Like they'll go on like a just like a like it'll be like an hour of like who would beat who, like just down the like line, and then it'll be like Thor versus Hulk, and it'll start there. And then, but then it's like, and then it just, it'll last forever. And then one of the ones you get all the time, it's like, well, if you could be any superhero, what would you be? And I was like, that question's fun three times. I'm over it after three times, you know?
Do you know what my senior quote, and this is, I'm being 1000% serious when I tell you this, my senior quote in my yearbook, and I will send, I don't know where my yearbook is, but when I find one at my mom's house, I'll send you a picture of it to prove it. My yearbook quote is, all I'm saying that if Spider-Man, if Spider-Man fought Wolverine, he would win because of the webs, period. Because he's got webs. That's it. That's how I decided after an illustrious 4 years of a high school career, I decided this is how I want people to remember me.
Had you just been arguing it for 4 years?
A loud argument that I used to have with my friend Isaac all the time about who would win versus Wolverine and Spider-Man. And like, I won it. I think I won it just because I had the final word. No one else at Justice Center High School, 2001, will ever disagree on who got the final word on that argument.
And he just did like some Walt Whitman quote or something.
His was like, you know, the chances you don't, it's something really
something
corny.
from the Raven, maybe.
Can't wait to live my life. Yeah, whatever.
Yours was about Raven, the superhero. Was she a villain? No, she's in the Teen Titans. That's absolutely hilarious and inaccurate. I mean, Spidey's way stronger,
I just think that my whole point is, he wouldn't, at the very least, I will never give up that Wolverine, that Spider-Man would lose a fight. He might not win the fight, but he would never lose. He could always just go to a draw. Because he can't catch him. How you gonna catch him?
Well, that's the ultimate thing with Wolverine.
He's bopping all over on the walls. He's shooting webs at your eyes. Come
yeah,
on,
I mean, he
here.
Might be able to just like web him down for a little bit, but he's not gonna win that fight per se. But you're right. Web like him down. Wolverine, you gotta be. He's not really helpful unless you're real close.
Yeah, or you throw him at somebody. Yeah, you can throw him at somebody.
Yeah, if Colossus is there. If Colossus is there to for the throw, sweet. then but yeah, I mean, that's a pretty significant helper.
yeah, you have to have a whole nother guy there,
a big guy, no less.
Right. Speaking of Colossus and Wolverine, I don't know if I've talked about this, but I just recently on the Genesis. I think they might have had it on Super Nintendo. Remember the X-Men game?
Yeah.
Where at the very end, it's like you beat Mojo and you can kind of switch between the people, like the characters doing that. I remember playing that game in my head. It was like a task that just was like, what genius could beat this game when I'm a kid? I'm like, I just couldn't even get to the final level. Like, I've only heard that it had Mojo on the final level, never actually got there.
Right.
I sat down. I was like, oh, let me see like someone playing the game. Cause let me see what did it look like? You know, how do I remember it? If I can remember the levels. I saw a dude beat the game, not even speed running. I mean, he's playing this game not very well. Beats the game in 42 minutes. 3/4 of an hour, this man beat this game. And it was like I said, it wasn't like he was like, you know, doing like all like speed running.
Yeah, it
wasn't
the speed running stuff.
And like, you know, like skipping through stuff. He was playing every single inch of that game and it took him exactly 42 minutes to play. And I was like, I was not that good at video games, I guess, when I was a little kid, because it seemed insurmountable.
Well, and games used to be really, really hard to beat. That was like their thing, you know, like it was just like,
because they only had 42 minutes worth of game.
And when you would die, you would start over. You would start the whole game over. Like,
right.
Yeah, I
like
remember
Ninja Turtles. The Ninja Turtles game on NES is impossible.
It is impossible. Yeah. I don't think I ever made it past like 6 levels. Like I wasn't even going that deep into it.
It's the one.
It's the underwater, right?
It's the water one. Yeah,
it's unbeatable. It's unbeatable. I'm mad now. I'm all worked up.
I'm getting a little charged up about it. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm getting a little charged.
Well, speaking of getting a little charged, how would I segue that? Credit
Your
card charges.
Is
let charged. Me tell you guys about our Patreon. Before we dive into this, ladies and gentlemen, please do go and check out our Patreon. Our Patreon is just a way that you can give a little more and get a little more from the podcast. We do things like 5 questions, 10 minutes. That's bonus interview segments that you guys vote on. Which guest did we have that you want to hear more from? Interview reviews, where I go back, kind of do like a director's cut of that whole interview. Mm-hmm. You get some free swag when you first sign up. All kinds of fun stuff. I'll post you get actually a whole video, like this episode right here of Christine. You'll get the full video interview of that, unedited, so you get those swears in there, if that's your thing.
spicy.
You actually will get that a day in advance, like I'll post that tonight. All kinds of fun stuff on there, so go check it out, ladies and gentlemen. patreon.com/don't make me come back there. And I do have some upcoming shows, fingers crossed, Lord willing, who knows. I think I might be
no I do not
I know no theoretically on December 31st, January 1st and 2nd I'll be in Appleton, Wisconsin, and then I'll be out in DC in March, and I had a lot of gigs canceled today, but I think the Wisconsin one's gonna be on. So all right, everybody, enjoy this episode with Christine. Thank you for being Backseaters. Everybody, you are the best.
So I want to start off asking you, because this is on the forefront of my mind, because I did a post about it yesterday and people were sending me this. What is your texting relationship like with your, because you have 13-year-old daughter, right?
Correct.
So yeah. We have for my, both my kids have what are called Gab phones.
Yeah. You told me about that.
Yeah. Right. And all they can do is text. And, but like my middle child, Gloria, she's like toxic in her text. She's like very demanding and she's always like snitching on the other kids, and she's nothing like I thought she would be like. And, and people were sending me screenshots of their kids too. The kids are like, yeah, they'll be in the other room. Like, bring me some mac and cheese. Like, they're
I'm gonna show you right now.
Oh yes, please do.
She's so funny. I'll text something like, cause she goes to her dad's for the weekend, and I'll just text, "I love you, honey," and she'll text, "So." She's so cruel, man. Unless she wants something, and then it all turns around.
Yeah, that's so funny. Is she that mean face to face, or
no?
She's
not always mean. It's just like she doesn't know how to communicate like feelings in a text.
Yeah,
or you know, she could never write like "I miss you" or like
right.
"I hope you're having fun" or "I hope you're doing something fun." Mm-hmm. It's always like more of a want or a need. Like yesterday, she wrote to me, "Olive ate some sour cream. Is that okay?" Because I was playing tennis and I left her by herself, and the cat ate some sour cream.
It's so good. It's like a kid in the, it's just total like stream of consciousness, like and there's no picking up of social cues. And I think they text each other much differently than adults text each other as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm trying to look at some more here. Sometimes she just says, "Can I get sushi for lunch?" It's like, how much more of an LA kid could you be?
I know. It is amazing how much they are willing to ask for via text. I think that's what it is. I think adults are very civil in how we text.
Yeah. Like,
because texting is not a thing we always had. And so we're very polite about it for the most part. We're pretty polite and cordial. And kids are just so direct via text.
They're so honest. Here's a picture of just a pile of poo right there. Look, I sent a heart to my daughter, and she sent a pile of emoji. Thank you.
I love it. They're so funny.
She also calls me lady.
Ooh, does that have a sting to it or no?
Yeah, a lot of times it'd be like, "I need the dinner, lady." Ooh. I'd be like, first of all, Alabama, don't call me lady. And second of all, get up off the couch, walk in the kitchen, and help mommy get it together. Like, I'm not a waitress.
Yeah, there's a lot of dissidence in lady, not even your name. You know, like, it's one thing when your kid starts calling you your name, quite another when they call you lady, like you're just some lady around the house.
Yeah, exactly. And then sometimes she'll just flat out say, "You're old." And it's like, okay, thank you.
Yeah. We always say to our kids, "I know we're older than you, but we're the youngest of your friends' parents."
And that's guys?
Yeah, we had our kids young. So we kind of both, because like we always say that. It's like, we don't compare ourselves to you. We compare ourselves to your friends' parents.
How old was your wife when the first, how old was Melissa when the first baby came?
23. Yeah. Or might have, 22, 23. That's she was 22. She turned 23.
Very young.
Yeah. You know, we had that, that good old fashioned religion in us. So we got married young and had kids young. And, so we had, now that's not entirely as far as the kids, you know how it is, like as your kids get old. So like our youngest, kid, she's six, and her friend's parents, if that's their first kid, we're about the same age. But then they look at us and they're like, I'm sorry, you have a kid who's almost in high school? I'm like, yeah.
He hits
high school next year.
Yeah. There's a lot of age range in parents out here in Los Angeles, because there's definitely people that, started more traditionally young. And then there's a lot of older parents as well.
Do you think that there's, because I guess in my guess, as far as stereotypically, it would be more older parents, almost just based on finances. It's so to raise kids out there.
Exactly. To afford more than a one bedroom apartment can be really prohibitive for a lot of people. So people do start their families later, I think. I mean, where I live, and that's a tiny pocket here in Los Angeles. It's not everybody, of course, but.
Right. Yeah. I feel like people have less kids in LA too, right? Like you see a lot of one and two kid households.
Yeah. A lot of one and two. Yes, that's true. A lot of one and two. I only know a few people that have three. Yeah. That's very hard to do here. I mean, it's expensive, and like you said, the space, it's just not, it's just not easy.
Do you like having an LA kid?
Oh my God. So much. Yeah. Well, because the thing is, Dustin, I grew up outside of Pittsburgh in a tiny little town called Gibsonia, where, there were no streetlights. There were no sidewalks. I mean, it was kind of rural, and the yards just went like yard after yard, and the houses and yard after yard. So, there was zero culture, obviously.
Right, right.
One black kid in school, very, very white. Everybody speaks English, And then I went to college in Pittsburgh as well, at Duquesne University. And there is some more diversity, but not much. Mm-hmm. And I want my kid to grow up with the reality of the world, not some little town in the middle of nowhere, because that's not reality.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting thought. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say they want to raise their kid in LA because LA is real. Because LA.
Really?
Well, I mean, LA, I think I spent a lot of time in LA, and I like LA. I have little SoCal kids, but that's different than in LA.
Because SoCal kids, you're talking more about that they're outside kids and they're beach kids and they're always doing outdoor things, right?
Exactly. They're beach kids. They're outdoor kids. They, they love in and out. It's impossible for them to get too hot. And if it gets below 75, they're freezing. They,
But they also might ski, and they also might, because we do have the mountains and the oceans,
We go up to Big Bear usually after Christmas every year, so we try and, everyone's talking about like the mass exodus of California, and I'm not a particularly big fan of government officials on any side. That's just, kind of the nature of what we do is to be skeptical. But I always, people are like, well, why don't you move? And I go, that's how much I love California, is that it's, to me, it's like run by idiots, and I'm still here. Like, it's like dating a girl, but her dad, you don't like her dad. I was like, well, I'm here for the girl, not the dad.
You can't say that, or else we all would have moved in 2016 after Trump.
That's exactly it. Yeah, that's an exact comparison. If you're like, no, I mean, I love the country. I don't care who's in charge of it for a while.
Well, I guess the other thing for me is, growing up in Pittsburgh, there nobody had any wherewithal to validate like what I wanted to do. I mean, listen, I'm the youngest of six, so I had to be on fire to get any attention at all. But I'm saying like if I was, when I was a kid and I say, I want to be an actress, and my mother would say, no, honey, you will go to Duquesne University, because all your brothers and sisters did, because daddy works there. And then you'll get married and move, and this is what we all do. And that is what everybody did.
Right.
I said, so it wasn't possible. It's not that they negated it, but they just didn't have any wherewithal. Whereas out here, my daughter, she knows actresses and voiceover artists, and she understands podcasting, and she has two YouTube channels, and her fingers are right on the pulse of what she wants to do. And I'm so happy that, like, when she says she wants to be a cinematographer, she probably will be. I mean,
right. Yeah, that's I didn't mean it as a knock on LA, but what I was, but because yeah, I mean, as far as like dream big, I mean that's the place for it, and the entrepreneurship, and you can do anything you want. My only thought of that is I've only lived in two cities, and both those cities hate LA, Seattle and San Diego. But because what it is because of the stereotypical shallowness, vanity, you know, kind of plastic of LA. And I, which is funny because we're in the comedy world and I'm like, it's not like that for comedy. Comedy is gritty and, you know, our shrines in LA are, you know, gritty comedy clubs, you know, they're not like these big icons.
It's not the Soho House in Malibu.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
At all.
It's not the Getty, you know, like it's a different thing what we do, but what I was, you know, one of the hardest things with kids is, you know, especially girls, is the vanity piece of not getting caught up in image. And now, like, you hear kids talk about things like brand and followers and all these type things, which I just wondered if that's perpetuated living in LA because they're trying to chase like that.
I've been here in Los Angeles for over 23 years. And like my podcast, Storyworthy, I've had over, you were like my 652nd guest the other day.
Amazing.
I've interviewed a lot of people and people that, you know, like Larry King or, you know, I've interviewed a lot of big people, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah.
And what people don't understand and what I don't understand that they don't understand is that we all put on our pants one leg at a time. You know what I mean? Like, everybody can look amazing in a tux or a gown, and everybody can look like they just woke up in the morning. Like, in other words, we're all the same person. Get it? Like,
yeah.
How could somebody have like, or, okay, let's say you would think like, you know, somebody famous. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a name right now. Like Wendy McClendon Covey, or, you know, an actress like that, that she must be doing glamorous things all the time. Oh right. My God. What a life. Well, that's absurd, right?
Right,
it's absurd.
Right.
Because even if she does 50 huge things a year, which would be a lot.
Right, right.
I mean, like going to a premieres or an event or somewhere where she actually did dress up, get a certain dress and have makeup come over. Let's say she did that 50 times a year. That's a huge number. It's not even going to be true. But let's say that.
Yeah.
What the hell is she doing the other 315 days a year?
Yeah, she's stumbling around in the morning trying to make coffee like the rest of us.
She's going to Albertsons. She's doing laundry. I mean, it's not. And I guess the other part of that is, since I didn't come out to LA till I was older, because I had a whole different life before LA.
Yeah.
I didn't come out here with any sort of vanity whatsoever. And I've never been a vain person.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never worn like really sexy stuff. I just don't. That's not me. Mm-hmm. I'm more like the down to earth girl or whatever. So I don't have those friends that do those things. So when I see the magazines in the, you know, in the checkout line, mm-hmm. I think, who the fuck are those people? Like they're not in my world. And let's say there's 50 people, use number 50 again. Let's say there's 50 people that are very recognizable on these magazines, right? That you see the same people all the time. Right. Okay. Well, there's 17 million people in Southern California. So in other words, these images, it's such a myth. It's so silly. It's so silly.
Yeah.
The only events they're covering, the only photos you're seeing are from those galas or those things which people would be dressed up.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen that often.
Oh, I 100% agree. It's all silly and fake. And it's just this kind of
illusion. And there's more people hiking or at a tennis court.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never see like at like Hollywood. There's no stars in Hollywood. Why would they live in Hollywood?
Yeah. It's a weird thing that we've kind of agreed to have it as a culture too. Or like there is total celebrity worship and there is total, you know, like, yeah, why we in the because they make money, I guess, because you put them on magazines and the magazine sells, and you put them in movies and people go buy tickets to see the movie, you know. But
it's the fashion, there's fashion, it's hair, it's, yeah, it's style, it's all that, it's all, yeah, that. But it's not like that's what Los Angeles is. Los Angeles is normal people. Everybody's normal. Like if, right, you saw somebody like Gina Davis or Kim Basinger, somebody who's really, you know, or Sharon Stone, that would be, that's huge. I mean, right, that we call that a celebrity sighting and you would tell your friends because that doesn't happen every day.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's true. It is, that's a good way of putting it. Like, yeah, if you're like walking around and you see a Laker, you would text your friend that you saw them. You know? Like, you're like, oh, I saw LeBron James today. He's not normally here.
Right.
Exactly. That's a good way of putting it. I like that.
Also, a lot of people, you know, LA is very spread out. So you've got a lot of celebrities that live in Malibu, celebrities that live in the hills, like the, yeah, Hollywood Hills. And then a lot of celebrities out in the valley. I mean, yeah, way out in the valley, where they have more space, like in Calabasas.
Yeah, yeah. No, there are times that I can get to LA from San Diego faster than people can who live, yeah, in the LA area.
Yes.
Depending where you're coming from.
Depending on traffic and all, yeah, that. But anyway, I love Los Angeles. I really do. Like I'll never live anywhere else. I know I won't.
I love it. Does your, what is this? You teased it a little bit. What was this life before LA? This whole other life?
Dude, when you told me Melissa had a baby at 23, that just made my mind explode. Cause when I was 23, I became a flight attendant, mm-hmm, and I flew for 7 years. And then I quit flying because I just got really tired of serving people because it's very much like being a waitress.
Yeah.
I mean, it's being a waitress.
Yeah.
And it's a tremendous amount of course, travel and a lot of hotels. And I just got really, it got to be crazy for me because I was constantly on the go. And I don't even mean as a flight attendant. I mean, on my time off, like I just flew all over the world. I just traveled everywhere. I just went crazy. And I had boyfriends in many states. And I had, you know, it was a cool lifestyle, but it, yeah, also burned me out. And so I quit and I went to the Peace Corps, as you will.
Yeah.
So I went to, I got sent to the Kingdom of Tonga in the South Pacific.
Wow.
A tiny group of islands just north of Fiji, south of Fiji, north of New Zealand. And there's about, oh gosh, I guess there's about, maybe 100,000 people in the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made up of maybe 300 islands, but only about 30 of the islands are inhabited. So like my island where I was sent, there were 67 people.
Wow. What kind of work were you doing there?
No electricity, no running water. Wow. Teaching English as a second language.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, and then the story takes another turn.
How long were you there for, real quick?
Well, okay,
this goes together.
Yeah, because see, when you sign up, you're going for 27 months. Everybody goes for 2 years and 3 months, and then sometimes people extend, and you know, so it's definitely 2 years, 3 months for sure. So everybody signs up for that, which is, I was so excited. Of course, I sold my car. I resigned from my airline, US Air. Some people called it U.S. scare. I got rid of my apartment, you know, I got, you know, everything. And I went to Tonga. And then after only 9 weeks, I got very ill. And they didn't know what was wrong with me. They wanted to take my appendix out, but the doctor didn't have shoes on and there was no running water. So that wasn't going to happen. And they flew me, they medevaced me out, the Peace Corps, and to Hawaii, which is the closest state. And there, they did some tests, ran a CAT scan, and found a huge tumor in my kidney.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know, right? So crazy. And
oh
so,
my gosh.
I know, dude. And then I had to have a radical nephrectomy, which is, you know, get the kidney out of there. And then I had to go through 6 months of chemotherapy. And that was the end of my Peace Corps career.
Wow. That is wild. Holy smokes. That story just kept getting more crazy.
I know. I know. Obviously, I have a solo show. Yes, we know this. It's called Surviving the Ride. I've done it about 20 times. It's really fun, actually. It's a great show. And I'm doing it again in January. Head over to ChristineBlackburn.com. You'll find out more information. But essentially, you know, getting cancer, almost dying. I mean, you've heard this story before. This is not my own. I mean, this is not anything unoriginal. But that, of course, got my California to become a performer, which is what I always wanted to do. But right. When you're in Pittsburgh, like I said, you have no wherewithal that you could be capable of that. Nobody tells you. Yes, that's very tangible. You would like to be a screenwriter. Let's do that. Let's give you the tools to make you a screenwriter.
Right.
When you're from the middle of Pennsylvania and it's rural, nobody tells you that.
Yeah. Because
they don't know. It's not nefarious. They don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so when I got to Los Angeles, I was already 31.
Wow.
So yeah, it's pretty intense. But it, you know, definitely as a cancer survivor, it doesn't make me better than anybody else for sure, because it made me, I was lucky. That's it. I was lucky. You know, if you die, you're not lucky. I was lucky. That's it. I did nothing right or wrong. I got lucky. Mm. I survived. And then of course, after that, what are you going to reject me? There's no more fear. The fear is gone.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, you can, I suppose taking a no is a little bit easier. If you're like, yeah, I went through chemotherapy, I'm okay.
Well, it's more than that. It was that whole time period. It was being a flight attendant and essentially traveling all over the world. And seriously, I mean, I stayed at the Oriental Hotel in Bangkok. That was rated the number one hotel in the world for like 9 years.
Wow. And
I've done some exceptional things where there's been a whole lot of money. And then I've been in the middle of the South Pacific on an island with 5 cassettes. And, you know, I was ready to be there 2 years.
Mm.
So I've seen people with no shoes. And then I've seen a tremendous amount of opulence. And there's really those two scales, they don't have anything to do with happiness. Can you believe that?
I know. I can believe it objectively, but it's always hard to actually sink in, right? I was raised by my dad, and then my uncle Butch was in the house too. And he would speak in these weird little proverbs. And I remember he said, he always used to say, money won't make you happy, but it won't make you sad.
Yeah, you can love somebody wealthy just as well as loving somebody who's poor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let me ask you this. So your probably, you know, your commitment to wanting to go perform, move to LA is so much formed by, you know, these extreme experiences. Do you feel it important to try and instill those in your daughter in somehow, as far now you can't force it. And obviously you don't want her to get cancer. That's an extreme example, but so much of the traveling and the life, you know, you kind of hinted that that's why you like living in LA, because there's a lot of that there.
It's true. Well, the culture, it's all here. I mean, I could walk to 40 restaurants with about 17 ethnicities.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I could walk to an Ethiopian restaurant. I don't care for it because they eat with their fingers, but hey, that whatever, you know, I'm just like, I love the choices and I love the people and I love hearing different languages. And I love that, you know, I go back East and I can't believe how many churches there are in towns. Mm. Like, what is happening? That you don't, I mean, you see churches out here, but you also see temples and you see, you know, a lot more options, choices, you know, in a way out here, nobody's better than anybody else. Cause you know what? You don't know who I am. You know, if I walk into the laundromat, does that mean I'm poor? Maybe not. Maybe I just sold a screenplay, or maybe I am. It's just funny. You know, it's funny. You don't get judged out here. Like I've seen people judged in other places.
Interesting. Now what's your daughter's name?
Her name is Alabama.
Alabama.
Where? Some people think that I'm from Alabama, but then she'd be called Pittsburgh.
Yeah, how'd you land on Alabama as a name?
Well, look, some people think it's because that's where she was conceived, but then she'd be called Vegas. More specifically, Mandalay Bay. That would have called her Mandy. I mean, I'm just saying. So I actually named her after the film True Romance. And if you remember, Patricia Arquette, she played Alabama Worley.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great movie. I mean, my gosh, there's like everybody's in it. James Gandolfini, Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
It goes on and on.
It's a forgotten movie. People don't talk about it as much as they should.
Still holds up too. I own the DVD. Val Kilmer's in it. And anyway, but in the film, Alabama Worley was a prostitute, you know? Mm-hmm. So I gotta tell that, you know, my daughter, and then we had that conversation and she's like, you know, what is a prostitute, Mama? And you know, you got kids, you gotta be very honest with them. You gotta be very straightforward because they'll catch on. You gotta be very truthful. Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
So I just told her, I said, Alabama, a prostitute is someone who never misses school. does all their homework and always pays the pimp on time.
There you go. All of the above. It is funny when your kid has like a name that like is in like the pop culture world for like that's our daughter Gloria. So yeah. she has all the great Christmas songs, but there's also, she has two, there's two Gloria songs. Well, there's actually a lot of Gloria songs, but there's the old one by them, right? The GLR, which is about a girl that comes around at nighttime and makes you feel good. So we don't sing that one a lot, even though it's how she learned how to spell her name.
Right.
And then there's the new one by the Lumineers. And I was like, oh, it's very pretty. And I was like, oh, this is really nice. I hope this is a love song. And it's totally about an addict that can't get her life together.
That is so funny. I don't know that song. That's funny. Yeah, Alabama's funny. She's like, Mama, in public, don't call me Alabama. Call me Bama. And I'm like, you think Alabama or Bama's, you know, and she says, I just want to be called Bama. Because when you say Alabama, people look at you. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, does she like the name? Does she resent the name? How does she feel about the
name? She goes by Bama. Yeah, she goes by Bama.
Yeah.
Everything is Bama. But she's, she's independent, and I'm grateful for that. You have a 13-year-old.
Yeah. As well.
And so I don't have to tell her, like, during the day in school and stuff, I don't have to really tell her anything, or I don't have to do anything. You know, it's actually... it's pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, right? You kind of earned that.
I can't imagine. That must be very tricky.
Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. It's nice to have the younger one and you really preserve the younger years.
Yeah.
That's why people keep having kids, is because they're like, oh, I want to keep having little kid Christmas, you know?
Absolutely. And I've heard before that a baby is at its optimal cuteness at 6 months old. And it's true because they still can't walk, but you hold them and they're chubby and they look around and they're tasting new foods and they make them that cute. Like, especially if you see a baby doll in the store, the baby doll is going to be the age of a 6 month old, but they always have an extra hair. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But the same like rings around their wrists and, you know, the little chubby parts.
Yeah.
It's like, so at a 6 month old, I think intuitively we were designed to be that cute so that you as a woman have that instinct to birth again, to get pregnant again. And you see a lot, you guys seem to have spread your children out, but you know how a lot of kids are like within 2 years apart.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Because then 6 months, they're like, we need to make another one of these. This is adorable.
That's right, but you're still flipping cute.
Yeah, that's true. But it is funny that, you know, they don't make dolls of toddlers. There's no toddler dolls, only baby dolls. Yeah. A toddler doll would turn into a soccer ball. The kid would just
be called, the fall off the porch Missy doll.
Yeah. He's always stained You know, it's always, he just yells at you for no reason.
Its hair is always matted.
That's a funny bit. That's good.
Let's pull that together.
Yeah, I like that. The so she's in eighth grade, or she in
eighth grade? Yeah, so she's looking at high schools, and you know, it's just so weird. You know, I had to email her teacher to get permission for Alabama to leave the bedroom at 1 o'clock to go to the dentist. I mean, it's just an upside down world right now, you know?
I think it's so funny when they talk about like not eating during class, and I get where you're coming from, but you're like, they're at home. Stop this. Stop trying to act like this is something that it isn't, because that's only, I don't think the other kids are distracted by it. They're all just looking at themselves and the teacher. That's just you being distracted by it, you know? Like,
yeah.
Oh, can you wait to go to the bathroom? They're in their house. Just stop trying to make this something that is, it isn't. You know?
I tell you though, seriously, I sometimes hear the teacher in, you know, her room, and I hear what's going on and stuff, and I think, it gives the teachers all the money.
All of it.
Just give them the money, because I can never do it.
I told Melissa, I said, I'm very pro teacher right now. Obviously, what they're doing is so hard. What I'm wondering is what the principals are doing. What are they doing? Why are they still on the payroll? Principals don't have anything to do right now.
Yeah. Who's getting sent to the office?
Exactly. Nobody. There's nobody. Like, the principal.
Attention.
No, the principal is as useful as the recess duty right now. There's no job for you.
Announcements. There's no Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, they just run around and make cameos every once in a while in the other classes. And you're like, you're just trying to earn your paycheck right now. Because the teachers, like, the idea of their principal a lot of time is that they're like a consultant to the teacher. But it's not like the principal knows how to do this. The principals are useless right now.
they're as good as the janitors in the school.
Honestly, yeah. but you better, if you're going to keep that principal on payroll, then you better keep the crossing guard on payroll, the lunch lady. Actually, the lunch lady is still working.
Yeah, they still got stuff to do.
Yeah, the principal's not doing anything.
Yeah, you know what I heard was a job right now? I thought this is interesting. You know how Universal Studios and Disneyland, they've been closed for all this. They have to pay people I don't know what department it is. I guess it's the janitorial department, to go around and flush toilets all day long. You just go around Universal Studios or Disney, flush toilets, because all these water rides, all the water stuff and all the plumbing, it's all interconnected. And if they stop there's a certain rhythm that has to continue keep water viable and fresh or whatever. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. Otherwise, the Water World ride's going to get a little stinky or something.
Oh, I'm not sure if it's about that. I'm not exactly sure, but it's something about, like, you just can't let toilets that are used to being flushed 20,000 times a day
then
not be flushed.
Oh, man, we were supposed to go to Universal. That was our first big family thing that got canceled. We were supposed to go over spring break, because the kids had gotten into The Simpsons a little bit, and we're like, oh, they're gonna go thing, and now they're like, when are we gonna go? And I'm like, I couldn't tell you. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's too bad. It really is fun. I could take my daughter there anytime, and it always have a good time, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas Disney's too it's so consuming. Ugh, if I go once. Yeah. If I must, but Universal to me is a lot more fun.
I agree. Maybe let's kind of try and, you know, wrap on, I want to hear how, like, how's your daughter doing with the lockdowns, the Zoom school, the not seeing friends as much, you know, because that's not really a thing that I feel like people talk a lot about. I mean, I talk a lot about it, but like, this is taking a toll on kids, and like, you're seeing things like anxiety and depression rates going up amongst teens, you know, because they're not seeing their friends, they don't have their normal structure, but some kids are doing fine. How's Bama doing with it all?
You know what, honestly, she's doing really well, but I she has a couple of friends that are like in her bubble group or whatever, and they can play. So she has like two play dates a week and they're always outside. The kids have their masks on, but you know, it's warmer here. So
yeah, yeah,
And like these four other little girls, or there's five little girls in just three families. Five little girls total are like, you know, they're putting on a Hamilton musical. And
nice.
And my daughter spends so much time working on her videos and editing, and it's actually going pretty well. I mean,
that's awesome.
It's not bad at all. Now, I'm glad that she's not a senior or in high school. Yeah. I do feel bad that like there'll be no eighth grade dance.
Yeah.
Obviously, there'll be no events. I mean, they're, you know, they've done some online stuff. Our school is pretty good. It's a smaller school, but I mean, I feel for a lot of the other kids more than my daughter. Because, you know, in her classroom, there's only 20 kids anyway. So it's a smaller situation. But I would think that the bigger schools where there's like 40 kids in a class, that would be a lot harder, I think.
Yeah. How's it been between you two? You guys getting along? And it seems like business as usual or strenuous? Well,
I mean, I'll say to her, you know, because she's so busy doing her own thing. Right. And I'll say, well, Bama, come over. Hug mama. Hug mama. Give mommy a hug. And she'll look at me like, why would I touch you? I'm like, come on. And I said, well, one time I said, Bammy, you used to love to snuggle with me. We used to go and lay on the bed together and just snuggle. And she goes, I didn't like it. And I'm like, yes, you did. Yeah. Like, I pretended to like it, but I didn't really.
Right. Liar.
She hurt me sometimes. Then she says to me the other day, she goes, you know, during your podcast, you say a lot.
Oh.
Oh. Like, why don't you just cut my wrists?
Oh, and then you just send her the poop emoji in return.
Yeah, well, that's what she does to me all the time. I say, I love you. She gives me a poop emoji.
I can think of no better way to end a podcast talking about teenagers. You said, I love you. They send you the poop emoji.
That's it. That wraps it up right there, teenagers.
Well, thank you, Christine. I appreciate you doing this.
I'm so happy to meet you, Dustin.
Yeah,
it's
you
so
as well.
I'm really glad.
Yeah, you know, we went from not knowing each other to two chats in a week. So welcome to the modern era.
And you're going to do a show in February for Flappers.
That's correct. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Christine.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. I wanted to give a special shout out to our designated drivers. That is our highest level of patrons. Demarius Diaz Stevens, Troy Meacham, Dave Hoagland, and Rachel Jakewith. Really appreciate your support of the podcast. If you have not already, please like and subscribe and share. Backseaters, you mean the world to us. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.